AI agents are everywhere, automating tasks and making decisions at machine speed. But agents make mistakes. Just one rogue agent can do big damage before you even notice. Rubrik Agent Cloud is the only platform that helps you monitor agents, set guardrails, and rewind mistakes, so you can unleash agents, not risk. Accelerate your AI transformation at rubrik.com. That's RUBRIK.com.
Welcome back, everyone, to the channel. Tonight's terrifying video. I have two different occurrences from park rangers. One is an attack, and one is based off a missing persons case. I'm telling you, tonight's video is going to give you some serious goosebumps. Now, let's get spooky. If you're new to the channel, subscribe. Click on that bell and smash that thumbs up and tell a friend. Hello, Campfire Tales. One of my friends recently showed me your cool channel, and I realized I have an amazing story that would fit. Basically, a few years ago, I used to work as a park ranger at Arches National Park. An absolutely gut-wrenching and horrific incident made me quit. I still have scars to this day. I woke up relatively late that day because I was working a swing shift, so I liked that. I didn't even have to set my alarm. I took my sweet time getting out of bed because I still had a few hours before my shift even started, and you best believe that I was going to take advantage of that. When I was laying in bed, I stumbled across some pretty disturbing news articles, titles that related to the national park I worked at. Beast spotted at Arches National Park. I was instantly concerned because I was naturally a very paranoid person. So I clicked on the article, but was even more concerned when I got an error message. Post seized by authorities. I instantly clicked off, and my heart began to race. I clicked on the news app and decided to scroll through more articles to see if there was more related to the strange beast people were talking about. To my surprise, every single article was the exact same title and thumbnail, just by a different publishers. I clicked on each, only to be continuously greeted by post seized by authorities. Huh. I muttered out loud, trying to calm myself down from the fear I felt. I usually would not care about something like this. It was only the fact that the articles were talking about a horrific beast at my national park, and I had to work there in just a few hours. I decided to go online and look up some breathing exercises to do in order to calm myself down. But as I opened my search browser, the top page was covered with the news articles. I clicked on one, and to my surprise, this one had not been deleted yet. I continued to read, bewildered that I was actually able to for once. At 6 a.m. this morning, a park ranger was found dead by... post seized by authorities. I instantly began to panic when the realization flooded me that one of my coworkers was now deceased from this creature. And then I didn't know which one. What if it was one of my good friends? I clicked off of the article and scrolled to the most recent one, knowing most likely it would take the authorities a bit longer to seize this one. I clicked on it and began to read again. At 6 a.m. this morning, a park ranger was found dead by another ranger on a routine route check. He claims that he arrived on the scene. He caught sight of a 7-foot-tall... post seized by authorities. Ah! I screamed in frustration. I had been so close to figuring out more details about the incident. I decided to go to the most recent article again. One more chance to see what really happened. I told myself that I would read with great speed and accuracy this time. It was more difficult for me because it had been the first few minutes that I had been awake. But now that it's been a little bit while longer, I trusted myself to have more reading ability this time. I clicked off of the article and scrolled as fast as I could to the next article. I clicked on it, and to my luck, it loaded instantly, giving me even more time as the other articles had been taking a few seconds to load. At 6 a.m. this morning, a park ranger was found dead by another ranger on a routine route check. He claims that when he arrived on the scene, he caught sight of a 7-foot-tall, half-dog, half-human beast-like creature. The U.S. government is trying their best to cover up these news stories, but we will not stop. Post seized by authorities. I was not upset, as I felt I had gained sufficient information from this post now. I decided that I could not just blindly trust these news articles, though. I went into my contacts and dialed my boss's phone number. The phone rang for a while and no one picked up. It was very unusual for my boss not to pick up, and I believe that was actually the first time in all of my working there that he didn't pick up. I decided to call again. It rang a while, and just as I was about to hang up, he answered. "James!" my boss screamed before the phone was audibly ripped away from him. "Hi, this is the Federal Bureau of Investigation. Your boss is busy right now. What can I help you with?" "What is going on over there? Can I come in to work later?" I asked. "Yes, everything is fine. You can still come in later. We're just doing a routine investigation. But do not worry, nothing had happened. News articles are trying to spread false information right now, so be careful what you read, all right? Bye, have a nice day." The lady responded before hanging up. I decided that I was going to call back again, because this whole thing was too suspicious for me to handle. I went back into my phone app and dialed my boss's number. This time, he picked up instantly. "James," he whispered. "Remember what we talked about?" I heard the FBI lady whisper to him.
"James, everything is great and okay over here. You could come in later," my boss said.
"Now why the hell did you make it sound so suspicious?"
I heard the FBI lady scold before the phone hung up. At this point, I was pretty scared because the whole situation seemed incredibly bizarre. But I decided that I was going to show up to work a few hours early and see what in the world is going on. I got out of bed and headed to the bathroom and got dressed and ready for my big day of investigating the weirdest occurrence I'd ever witnessed in my entire life. I felt like it was the beginning of a horror movie. I got dressed and headed out the door and unlocked my car, hearing the satisfying sound of it being unlocked. It was only satisfying because it was my brand new Jeep that I worked very hard to get, picking up extra shifts at the park and side hustles. I entered my new car and felt a mix of nervousness and excitement, probably because the chemical that causes nervousness in your brain is also the same chemical.
AI agents are everywhere, automating tasks and making decisions at machine speed. But agents make mistakes. Just one rogue agent can do big damage before you even notice. Rubrik Agent Cloud is the only platform that helps you monitor agents, set guardrails, and rewind mistakes, so you can unleash agents, not risk. Accelerate your AI transformation at Rubrik.com. That's Rubrik.com.
Time. It's always vanishing. The commute, the errands, the work functions, the meetings, selling your car. Unless you sell your car with Carvana. Get a real offer in minutes. Get it picked up from your door. Get paid on the spot. So fast, you'll wonder what the catch is. There isn't one. We just respect you and your time. Oh, you're still here? Move along now. Enjoy your day. Sell your car today. Carvana. Pickup fees may apply.
Goal that causes excitement. I decided to take this as an idea and turn all of my nervousness into pure excitement about the interesting day that I was pretty sure I was going to have. I turned the key in the ignition and began my journey to work. Since the national park was pretty secluded, like all national parks are, it would take me around an hour to get there if there wasn't much traffic. But who really cared? It wasn't like I was running late.
In fact, I was 3 hours early. After a long drive, I arrived at my destination and parked my car in the parking spot. Feeling excitement course through my veins as I stepped out of the car, ready to face the bizarre day. I looked around and instantly took notice of a bunch of federal black SUVs circling the area, some FBI agents walking around, putting yellow caution tape on everything, and I saw an FBI agent on a laptop. I figured my first order of business was to see what the FBI agent was doing on his handy little laptop. I sneakily walked behind him and took a peek over his shoulder. I was shocked at what I was seeing. I saw him going through articles one by one about the coworker being killed in the incident. And he had some sort of admin control board. He kept clicking a button that said, "Seize post for unlawful / false information," without even reading the whole article. "What you doing there, bud?" I said from the adrenaline, even though I knew I shouldn't. "Hey, what are you doing here?" he screamed at me. I panicked, but I quickly came up with a plan to get myself out of the situation. "Don't worry, you can trust me, I'm legit. I'm just the new guy in the force they sent to do undercover here, to make sure everything's in order." Suddenly, he pulled out a gun. I quickly pulled out my phone, hit record, and put it back in my pocket without him noticing. "You have 5 seconds to prove to me that you're real FBI, before I turn you into the guy on the stories that I'm covering up." "Sir, calm down. I'm here on the undercover force of the Federal Bureau of Investigation," I spoke. "Who sent you?" he screamed. I gulped with fear. I knew that my only chance was to say a random name and hoped against all odds that I got it right. Ron, I said. "Oh, all right, my bad. Anyways, just get out of here, I'm busy," he replied. "Holy shit, I can't believe that worked," I muttered under my breath quietly enough so that he would not hear as I walked away. I walked over to another FBI agent who was carrying a body bag into a truck. Hey, what you doing?" I asked. "Freeze!" the FBI agent replied after pulling out a gun. "Don't worry, I'm legit. Just undercover, I'm the new guy Ron sent me," I explained to the FBI agent. "Who the hell is Ron?" the agent said. "No one is allowed here until the swing shift," the FBI agent went on. The FBI agent suddenly fired her gun at me, but luckily missed. Adrenaline ran through my veins and I ran for my life, trying to run erratically as the FBI agent continued to fire his bullets at me. After a while of running, I made it to my car and slid behind, waiting for a clearing to get to the driver's seat. After a few minutes, I took my chances and got out from behind the car and bolted to my driver's seat. "There he is!" the agent yelled out, and I ducked when multiple guns began firing at my vehicle. I slammed on the gas and got out of there as quickly as I could. It took a few minutes for the bullets to stop, and I felt relieved until I noticed a black SUV following me. I looked in the rearview mirror and saw a window rolled down and a hand coming out with the gun. I instantly swerved him off the road, causing his SUV to crash. I drove the rest of the way home and felt panicked when I jumped out of my car. I checked my entire body for bullet wounds, but was luckily fine. My car, on the other hand, had taken quite a beating. I cried looking at the damage, knowing I had worked so incredibly hard for this car, but I guess that was the price I had to pay if I wanted to mess around with the United States government. I quickly was filled with regret about how foolish going to work had been at this time. I went inside, my head hung low. I was still fearful that the FBI would show up and knock down my door at any second. I laid on my couch and I had a plan. I was going to go to work an hour after the shift had started, just so I could be certain the FBI was gone. An hour later, I decided that it was time for me to go to work. I got off of the couch that I had been laying on in pure anxiety for a while, and I was finally ready to go. I went into the bathroom and spent extra long getting ready, because I wanted to be absolutely sure that any one of those FBI guys was not there. After getting ready, I walked outside and sighed as I looked at how destroyed my car was. I unlocked the car and got inside, turned the keys in the ignition, and before I knew it, I was on my way back to work again. I felt anxiety continue to course through my veins. I checked the rearview mirror every 30 seconds out of fear I was still being followed by the FBI agents shooting their guns at me. Every time I remembered that traumatic occurrence, I felt a sense of post-traumatic stress, remembering just how scared I was and I had to drive away from deadly bullets being fired at me. I finally made it to work after an hour of driving, and I was relieved to see that any trace that the FBI may have been present at the park was gone, except bullets on the ground. I got out of my car and pulled my keychain out, ready to start my amazing day. Or I guess it really wasn't amazing, but I could still turn it into an amazing day. I walked to the office, unlocked the door quickly. "Tell me everything right now," I screamed at my boss. I couldn't find him anywhere until I found him tied up in a corner, unconscious, with duct tape over his mouth. "What in the world is going on today?" I muttered under my breath as I rushed over to help him out of his bizarre situation. I untied the ropes and took the duct tape off of his mouth. I then tried to wake him up for minutes, but to no avail. I figured that the smelling salts I kept in my truck would work. I went to my truck and grabbed the smelling salts and quickly rushed back into the office. "Come on, wake up!" I yelled as I brought the smelling salts to his face. He woke up and screamed, very shocked and scared. "Ah!" he screamed. "Hey, it's okay. Tell me what happened. Did the FBI do this to you?" I asked, wanting to know everything that went down. I can't talk about it," he replied. "Why not?" I said, but was cut off by a weird sound. "Oh my God, oh my God, run! He's here, he's here, he's here!" My boss suddenly began to scream while pointing towards the door. "What the fu-" I said, but was cut off as I saw what he was talking about. In the door that I had foolishly left open was a 7-foot-tall, horrific-looking, half-dog, half-human, beast-like creature. It began to slowly walk closer and closer until it suddenly charged at me and knocked me to the ground. I groaned in pain and gave it all my might as the beast tried to devour me, and suddenly, I heard 5 gunshots and the beast collapsed on top of me. I pushed the beast off of me and saw my boss holding a gun with smoke coming out of it. I began to scream and cry, feeling traumatized about what had just went down, but happy that I was still alive as I had just seen my entire life flash before my eyes as the beast was about to absolutely devour me. "Thank you so much. You saved me," I told my boss, incredibly grateful. "Get out of here and never come back. This park isn't safe anymore," he screamed at me, gesturing for me to get out the door. I followed his instructions and ran out of the office and quickly got into my car and drove away. I felt sad that my time at this job had to end in such a horrific way, but I was also relieved that I didn't have to go back there. I was diagnosed with PTSD from the incident, but luckily my life has improved since it happened. Story 2. I used to work as a park ranger at the Great Exquisite National Park. This story takes place in early 2020, a little before the coronavirus restrictions began to take place. I woke up on that crisp February morning, blissfully unaware of the horrors that would reveal themselves to me that day. I got out of bed with an optimistic attitude and made my way over to the bathroom where I got dressed and ready for the day that I honestly believed would be amazing, just like any other. I put on my favorite clothing, not that it would make any difference after I pulled it over the employee uniform. But I just had that gut feeling, despite the good day I was going to have, that I was going to need some luck. And to this day, I still thank my lucky outfit why I'm still alive. Once it was time to leave, I put on my boots, grabbed my car keys, and headed out the front door, where I then unlocked the car and got inside. I turned the keys into the ignition and was then on my merry way to work. I shivered as the heater in my car began to warm up. I wasn't fully used to the cold weather, because it had been very unseasonably warm for the past week or so. I didn't like winter as much as the other seasons, but I knew it was almost over and decided to embrace the crisp air. However, after this incident, I don't try to like winter anymore. The cold, crisp air, no matter what city it's in, always reminds me of this horrible, horrible day. I finally made it to work a while later and parked my car in my favorite parking spot. Having to select a favorite parking spot may seem dumb, but I was a very methodical person and liked to do and go to the same places every day. I got out of my car and went inside the ranger's office, hearing the peaceful sounds of the birds chirping and whatnot on my short walk there. That was actually part of the reason it was my favorite parking place, because it was the farthest place to park, giving me just enough extra time to take in the beauty of the world rather than I had just parked a few spaces closer. I made it to the front door and opened it. "Hey, everyone!" I yelled across the room, greeting everyone cheerfully as I walked in. I was known as the overly cheerful coworker. Most people liked it, but some thought it was always a bit too over the top. "Hey, Jack, how's your day?" one of my coworkers asked. "Well, every day has the power to be a great day, but I'm doing especially good today. How about you?" I replied and asked. "I'm doing good as well, just a little bit bummed about something," my coworker explained. "Oh no, what's wrong?" I questioned. "Well, there's a group of hikers that recently went missing, and I actually knew one of them quite well. He's my brother-in-law," my coworker explained. "Oh, I'm sorry, but I have faith that we'll be able to find both of the hikers alive and well," I explained, trying to uplift his mood. I went over to my computer and logged in before opening the work application. I logged on to check what had been assigned for the day. Looked like I had been assigned some routine pickup trash on a trail in about 10 minutes, and searching for the missing people in 2 hours. I got out of my chair and headed over to my coworker I had just been speaking to. "Hey, I think you'll be happy to hear that I'm on the missing persons duty," I said to my coworker. "Oh yeah, that's great," he replied. "More the better." I was well known for being the employee who had found 3 different missing people in 1 year, and 10 missing people total. So I was sure that my coworker's mood had been slightly uplifted after hearing that I was going to be joining up with the search team to look for his brother-in-law, and the other person that I actually don't know much about at the time. I decided that if I was going to go out there on the search party, I wanted to be the one to find these people. I better go look at some of the pictures of them. I was already aware of my coworker's brother-in-law's appearance as he often stopped by at the park, but nothing about the woman he was with. I went onto my computer and checked on her file to see it was his wife. I studied some pictures of her for a few minutes, and knew that my good memory and high spatial IQ would help me find her while I was searching for her later. I decided that I would head out now and complete my routine trash pickup. I stepped outside, grabbing some trash bags from the front porch where the dispenser was, before making my way down to the trails that I had been assigned to pick up trash on. Once I had grabbed enough trash bags, I began to walk over to the trails, once again admiring the sounds of the birds chirping and other natural sounds. Once I made it to the trails, I began my journey to pick up trash. I noticed that some of the pieces of trash were quite peculiar, and unlike any trash I had ever seen before. But I brushed it off and continued to pick up trash. After about 10 minutes of picking up trash, I began to hear this peculiar noises coming from behind me. I looked behind me, and I was instantly frightened when I saw 2 eyes peeking back at me from behind a bush. I decided that I would go over there and investigate a little. I looked behind the bush where the incident had occurred, very scared to do so, but still stuck through, and saw it was just an adorable little rabbit. big bright yellow eyes blissfully shining back into mine. I said my goodbyes and continued to pick up trash on the trail until I was done. I walked back over to the ranger's office and put all the trash bags I had in the dumpster behind the office. I was so incredibly bored that I got done early, that I decided that I would drink 7 cups of coffee in a row to ease the boredom. I went over to the coffee pot and quickly gulped down 7 cups of coffee. I know, pretty crazy, right? And probably not the smartest thing to do. Once I was done, I was wired and felt rejuvenated after having consumed around 400 milligrams of caffeine. I double-checked my schedule again and was so amped up that I figured I was going to begin my search for the missing people before I was scheduled.
Whoa! Hey, I'm going to go out and look for your brother-in-law. Wish me luck.
I yelled through the office, causing it to go silent for a few seconds. No response. And then everyone went back to chatting and working. Embarrassment suddenly flooded me, and I quickly went outside and slammed the door behind me, shaking the office a little bit. I walked down the stairs, and decided I should obviously start looking for them on the trail that they went missing on. Maybe catch up with some of the others. I began walking on the trail. Soon later, I smelt it. The smell of death. Oh no. It would be so unfortunate that I would find their deceased bodies, I thought, heartbroken that I would have to deliver such news. Until I kept walking and realized it had belonged to 2 deceased wolves instead. I continued on my search, when suddenly I began to hear weird noises. I heard distorted and maniacal laughter that sounded like the same frequency of sleep paralysis. I became incredibly worried and frightened and began to examine all of my surroundings, utterly scared that an unknown and horrific creature would jump out and attack me at any moment.
"Whatever you are, please let me go," I said out loud.
Suddenly, I heard footsteps begin to run after me with the same distorted laughter, and suddenly a face popped out of the bushes.
"Did I scare you?"
my coworker asked as he began to laugh.
"Dude, I'm out here looking for your missing family and you're trying to prank me?" I said, feeling slightly offended by his actions.
He began to maniacally laugh before frolicking away into the parking lot. Continuing to laugh, he reminded me of a fairy of sorts when he was doing that. Where is he going? I continued on my search. I was walking normally when I suddenly slipped and hit my head extremely hard on a rock. I woke to an unknown amount of time later, and it was pitch black outside, and my head hurt worse than it ever had before. I looked around, but only saw a mixture of stars from the pain and real-life stars. I groaned as I got up, and a shiver instantly went down my spine when I felt the familiar and recognizable sensation of another evil presence nearby. I reached for my sides and found my flashlight. I turned on my flashlight to reveal a pool of blood next to where my head had been. I frantically touched my head and saw that it was done bleeding, but that it had been bleeding pretty bad before. I moved the light to reveal bloody footsteps leading away from where my head had been. The footsteps were inhuman, but also not from an animal. They were incredibly large, at least 3 times bigger than my feet, and only had 3 toes. I decided that I was going to follow them. Based on the way I was feeling, I wasn't even completely sure if this was reality. I felt a sense of derealization and genuinely believed I was in a dream for a second. I began to follow the footsteps, and I noticed that the trail never really seemed to end, and that the footprints were getting more fresh, almost as if I was behind something moving right in front of me at that very moment in the dark. I slowly and shakily pointed my flashlight upwards to reveal a young boy with his head against a mysterious brick wall that I had never even seen before. I looked at this boy's feet and knew there was no way he could have made the footprints.
Hey, I called out in fear.
distorted, maniacal laughter was my only response, leading me to believe that my coworker may have gone completely psychotic and was pulling a huge prank on me. "Hello? This isn't funny, whoever is pranking me," I stated. The maniacal, distorted, and uncanny laughter only got worse and worse.
"Help!"
I suddenly heard a young woman scream. I turned to where the scream was coming from and pointed my flashlight to see nothing. I then pointed it back to the ground to reveal the same bloody footsteps leading in that direction. I realized that the small amount of blood that had been from my head, there was no way this was the same blood as my head on these footprints still. Whatever this was had created new blood. That thought terrified me. I decided that I had nothing to do but follow it. But first I wanted to talk to the boy some more. "Hey, listen, kid. This isn't funny. I know you think this prank is hilarious, and I get it, but seriously, I'll give you $100 if you cut it out and tell me who is doing this elaborate prank," I explained to the child.
"This isn't a prank. You're acting silly. Cease your foolish behavior at once before the curse worsens,"
the kid explained in an incredibly distorted and cold tone, sending chills down my spine. "What are you talking about? Like an ancient king? How long did you practice for this prank?" I said, trying to get the information out of him. He suddenly roared extremely loud and charged at me, knocking me down, and I could see his bright, bloody face.
"This is your final warning," the boy explained maliciously.
I decided I was going to get the hell out of there and find help at the office. I turned around and ran as fast as I ever had ran in my life. I didn't think twice or look behind me once, because I knew it would only slow me down and cause extreme fear. After running for a while, I ran into a tree headfirst and fell backwards again on my head, causing extreme throbbing and stabbing pain.
"You can't run from me," the boy said.
"Who are you?"
I asked.
"It's me, the guy you're looking for, the guy's brother-in-law,"
a brand new man's voice explained. I slowly and fearfully turned around, hoping that I was about to see just a regular man, but boy, was I incorrect. I looked at him and saw an incredibly uncanny, disfigured version of the guy I was looking for.
"What did they do to you?" I questioned.
"What do you mean, did to me? They saved me. They showed me the light," he explained. "Living a mortal life is boring because you have morals, guilt, and fear. But in this realm of existence, there is no mortality, guilt, or fear, only rage," he screamed before entering a maniacal laughter.
I began to scream for help, but it suddenly felt like I was in a dream when I realized my screams were incredibly muffled.
"Oh, this is just a nightmare," I said out loud.
"The worst and most real nightmare you've ever experienced," the man said.
I turned on my flashlight and got a better look at the man. He was holding both of his eyeballs. It was then that I vomited from the pure disgust and horror.
"Help!"
I heard the same woman scream earlier, now much louder than it was last time that I'd heard it. I quickly shuffled to my feet, turning my flashlight around to notice that the strange man with no eyes was no longer there. He had vanished. I turned my flashlight around again, looking for the woman who had screamed for help, and I saw the most horrific thing. Lurking behind the trees was a humanoid black figure creature with incredibly long legs. And when I saw the creature's feet, my mind instantly went to the footsteps that I had seen earlier. I pulled out my pistol and shot at the creature. It seemed to have a minor physical reaction and then ran off into the woods. I quickly holstered my pistol and ran out of the forest again with my flashlight on, eventually finding an exit. Against all odds, the place where I'd came from was where my truck was parked. I decided to go inside the ranger's office first and report the crazy shit that had just went down. I made it to the station and started to pound on the door like my life depended on it. But it most likely did in this scenario. Finally, my boss answered, and through sobs and quick breaths, I explained my story to him. They sent out a search team, and I ran to my truck and drove all the way home. As I was driving home, I could swear that I saw the boys standing on the side of the road a few times in my peripheral vision, but I knew it was just paranoid hallucinations. I later got a text message from my boss that read like this, and I still have it saved. "Hey, regarding last night's frantic report, we sent out a search team and found the mysterious rock wall that you were talking about, but we also found something else. Bizarre, or should I say horrifying, makes me think that you weren't lying. We found a bizarre rock statue of sorts, two yellow eyeballs in the middle. We also found some blood in the forest, but we never found anything related to the two missing people. Best of luck. Also, you are fired effective immediately, because I knew you were most likely going to quit anyways." I was relieved that he fired me because he was correct about me quitting. I still have nightmares about that horrific face. It would never be able to go back to work.